Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This video is in praise of Angela Rayner. Now, Mrs. Rayner, as you may know, she's the Deputy Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And her special remit is building houses. So this is a subject close to her heart. She grew up in an impecunious family with an illiterate mother who notoriously fed her dog food simply because her mother was incapable of making out what was on the label. Now, Angela Rayner has not acquired a taste for dog food and lives in some very considerable comfort. Obviously, if she really cared about the needy and homeless people, she wouldn't be using her grace and favour country retreat for herself. If she wasn't greedy, then she would make it turn into a homeless shelter. But socialism doesn't work even for the socialists. And she purchased a council home using that she previously lived in, you know, the right to buy legislation introduced by Margaret Thatcher, who is an anti-hero in Angela Rayner's book, and indeed very high in the left's demonology. But Angela Rayner has been tasked with building millions of homes, particularly in England. Methinks this doesn't apply to the rest of the United Kingdom. And I just saw an article today that only 10% of people in England can afford to buy a home because the price are getting higher and higher. You know, banks will lend you five times your income maximum. And there are places like Kensington and Chelsea when the average home is 12 times the average income, 12 times, just eye-watering. And you think, how affordable these things were the old days. I remember as a baby in the 1980s, living in Kensington, just an ordinary bourgeois family. And we live in a certain street, I shan't name it. That is now the fifth most expensive street in the United Kingdom, the fifth. We would have to be multimillionaires to live there. And that was it. So a family could rent a three-bedroom flat there in a very good area of London. Unimaginable these days. She has been given a hospital pass, really, because as Kemi Badenoch pointed out to her, only a few weeks into Mrs. Rayner, holding that office is an impossible task. These are unachievable targets, but no government has achieved its housing targets since the 1960s, if memory serves. And the Conservative government that has just been kicked out of office 5 months ago was particularly bad, fell very short of these. All right, things like coronavirus intervened when there could be almost no construction activity. A number of fiscal events like the Ukraine war, which obviously drove up oil and gas prices, and that affects the price of everything, waves of immigration of people seeking asylum from Hong Kong and Ukraine and so forth. So she's not going to achieve it, but if she achieved even half, it would be a good thing. And so there's this green belt. Now, I like walking in the countryside, but people need houses. So what are we going to do? Push is going to have to cut the shove. We need to redevelop brownfield sites. We're not so good at that. People are working from home more and more. We don't need so many offices or indeed so many shops, a lot of online shopping. A lot of those need to be repurposed. They should change the law where you don't need to apply for planning permission. You can just turn a former housing unit, factory office into housing. The one thing is, as a local councillor said to me, you want to build 70 more housing units. All right, where's the road capacity? Where's the rail capacity? Where's the National Health Service capacity? Where are the school places to accommodate X thousand extra people in this town? So I realized there does need to be some joined up thinking about this, where we're putting she wants various new towns. A lot of these seem unfeasible. The low hanging fruit has already been picked, places where their jobs to go to, which already connect well to the national transport infrastructure. But I think some building on Greenbelt is going to be essential, and she's going to be able to railroad this through against the objection of councillors. There are too many NIMBYs. Yes, we need more housing, but not where I live. Plus, it'll reduce the value of the home, and then I want to be able to sell it, rent it out, whatever, use as collateral against another loan for it, to remortgage it, to put the money into my business or buy another property. So there, those householders have got a vested interests in keeping the supply of housing as limited as possible. Laws of supply and demand. Another thing is building all this student accommodation is only occupied half the year. Speaking to someone who studied at Trinity College Dublin in the 90s, and she shared a bedroom with four others. We've got to get over this idea that everyone gets his or her own bedroom. Like children, it can have to be two or three siblings sharing together. It could be two families sharing, and you know, two girls from two different families sharing, or two boys or whatever, and may sometimes, you know, cousins sharing, and that will be it. Save on the heating bill as well, or all the warmth from extra people. Now, what else are we going to have to do? Well, people sometimes, if they're going to go to university, live with mum and dad. You don't have to go to the far end of the realm. So lots of things can be done. prison spaces need to be built, and I would build the most economically depressed areas of people seeking jobs, former pit villages in County Durham and so forth. You look on Zoopla, you might be shocked how affordable places are. A two-bedroom house, not a flat, a house for £20,000. Sometimes it needs no work done in it. This is a place of high unemployment, high crime. Would it be worth it? You have 20,000 quid worth of stuff burgled out every year. That's what people say. So another thing is to move government ministries out of London. And all right, the Treasury needs to be there because that's what the banks are, some in-person meetings. Maybe the Ministry of Justice, because the courts are there and the judges and so forth. Supreme Court is there. Perhaps the Foreign Commonwealth Office, or whatever it's called, Office for Foreign Commonwealth, is it International Development Affairs? Because that's what the embassies and high commissions are, and the state visits, fine. But almost everything else can move well out of London and to Wales, to Scotland, to Northern Ireland, as well as to Northern England, to Western England, and so forth. To ideally economically depressed areas, so the civil servants are going to spend their salaries there. And be told you've got to move. That's it. You move or you're out. And not today, but give you 5 years, something like that. And you can decide you're going to leave or you're going to stay or whatever, or maybe allow you to move to department. We're putting the Ministry for Transport in Penzance, and they were putting the Ministry for the Environment in Hartlepool or something like that. And you can maybe be able to move ministry to a more acceptable place. Or people say, yes, but my spouse works as well. Her or his job can't so easily relocate. We don't want to disrupt children's lives in the middle of their GCSEs or something. That's why it phased out over a few years. But the other thing is, there are so many unoccupied houses, or at least part-time occupied. People have got a holiday house in Cornwall. They spend a fortnight a year there. And so the higher tax on unoccupied properties. And Boris Johnson's mayor of London talked about doing it, did nothing about it. We really need to do that. You'll be allowed to have a second or a third home, but you're going to have to pay through the nose for it. And that would be an incentive to either sell it or else rent it out full time and just not keep it as an asset, knowing that the value of that property can only go one way. And then these super rich people will be paying more tax. So that's what we need to do. I'm reading about in Surrey that Surrey's got enough unoccupied residences to house the homeless five times over. And then they're just abandoned houses, decrepit houses, or they're places, whole streets in Liverpool or Middlesbrough, where houses weren't lived in for years. So I would compulsory purchase those and renovate those. And then I'd rent them out to sort of public sector workers at a nominal rent. Say you're whatever, you're a nurse in the National Health Service, you're a police officer, you're a teacher or whatever, you're some local council civil servant, and you can have this, and a market rent for this would be £500 a month, or we'll rent it to you £100 a month, and that's it. And that goes with the job to incentivize people to live there. Maybe allow them a right to buy as well. So there are all sorts of things we can do to get this moving. And I know it wouldn't be nice to see some lovely green space near me concreted over, but we need to take some drastic measures because there is a housing crisis and it's getting worse. You know, net 900,000 immigration in 2023. So the UK's already 70 million people. It's going up all the time. And that would also make people get real about immigration, to limit it to a sensible level. So Mrs. Rayner is not entirely wrong on this one. Right. Thank you very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.